Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So we took the call last hour about Tarek Skubal and the arbitration situation. And, you know, Chris McCoskey happened to come out with a story today that sort of gave a little bit more perspective on what's going on there and how it isn't quite as bad as it looks. But the caller said there's really no way the Tigers are going to look good. I think what the fans care about is they just want the guy. They want the player back and they want the player to play for their team. And they're mad if the team somehow, some way lets them go. Even though I just looked down at Twitch and Koi Boy put this out there. Scoobs and Boris won out. It's so frustrating. Feels like the Ndamukong Suh years.
It has a feel like that. And I think outwardly, yeah, I think Skubal is just, he's along for the ride. He's an amazing talent. And he's just letting his agent negotiate how he's going to negotiate without really, this is the way it's coming across. It comes across is without his input on where he wants to be. It's just, hey, man, I'll give you the riches you've never dreamed of, that you couldn't possibly dream of. Okay, so we're going to go to free agency. You'll see. And he'll get offers. And one of them probably won't be from the Tigers, won't be competitive enough from the Tigers, because it'll be the guys, the big boys that have the deep, deep pockets. And it just feels like we're lost. We're out on that because it's not a cap league. The NFL, it had that same kind of feel, because Ndamukong Suh would say, when he would speak publicly, he'd say maybe not necessarily the right things, but they were non-committal, and he didn't say anything bad about the Lions. And in the end, the Lions couldn't match the offer that he got from the Dolphins because there's no state income tax, and they offered more money, and what the Lions would have had to have offered would have been ridiculous, and it just didn't make any sense. But Suh got paid. Some players just want to get paid. And it's starting to feel like that's exactly what Skubal's doing. And there's nothing wrong with that because you can only do this job for so long. You know, this isn't like this long-ass career where you retire when you're 60 or right. 65 or whatever. I mean, this is, your arm can be done tomorrow and you're out. So I don't begrudge the players for trying to maximize their earnings. But at some point, you know, you'd love to hear that. Of course, you want to hear that every player that's good that's on your team wants to stay there forever, get paid well enough, but not too well because you don't want them to, you know, to prevent other players from joining this team and winning championships.
248-539-9797. Got a little NFL draft exercise we'll do this hour. You know what sparked it? Fresh Mel.
We got Fresh Mel?
We got Fresh Mel.
I was going to say, now that Dante Moore is not part of the draft?
It has nothing to do with that, but we'll get to it coming up a little bit later on. Andrew in Detroit. What's up, Andrew?
What's going on today, fellas?
How you doing, sir?
First off, I think that the Pistons definitely should trade Tobias Harris. They've shown this year that they don't necessarily need him to be on the court because they played over half their season without him, been winning. I would love to see them get a stretch four that can shoot the ball, or maybe somebody that can come off screens real good and be a knockdown shooter. The Skubal thing I find interesting because I feel like this. I feel like if a pitcher can't go more than seven innings, if I can't get half of your starts be a complete game, then I can't pay you as a top marquee pitcher when you have pitchers who actually do that who not getting as much. Even though you did win the Cy Young and everything like that, how many complete games did you give me that season? And my last thing is I honestly believe John Harbaugh will be out of New York in 3 years. When he got to Baltimore, he came in with a good core, good defense, and an identity, and a great GM who knew how to draft. He's going to a team that has a horrible GM, a team that has no offensive line, a quarterback injuries, your receiver, your running back, both coming off of major injuries, and you have no defense. So with all that put together, I see him having a 3-year run in New York.
Yeah, I would disagree with a lot of that. I think the Giants have a lot to work with, and I think it's an attractive job for John Harbaugh to take over. I think they have a good quarterback in Jackson Dart. I think that their defense, particularly defensive line, is pretty stout. They have other players on the roster that are good young players, and then they have also, what, a top five pick in the draft?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think it's as dire as he makes it seem. And as far as Tobias is concerned, Tobias's value is making contracts meet. You want to make your immediate roster better for the here and the now, what you can get here and now. Unk plays a role on this team, and it's important. But if you can get Michael Porter Jr. with Tobias, a player and a pick, I think you have to do that deal. I understand what Hollinger, and if you missed it, John Hollinger, former Memphis executive, wrote that he would stand pat if he were the Pistons, make a move on the margin, and that's it. And his reasoning was he wanted to see what they did in a 7-game series. He feels like this, you don't even really know who you are. Regular season doesn't mean as much. You don't know who you are until you're in a peer-to-peer 7-game series like at the Eastern Conference Finals. Then you find out who you really are. And he doesn't think they should address anything until they have answered that question. 248-539-9797. Sam is next on 97.1. Hi, Sam.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, sir. What's up?
A couple of things on Skubal. First, it's clear Evan Petzold is a Scott Boras mouthpiece. No, he can't reveal his sources. I get it. But, you know, everything we're hearing from him has got to be coming from Scott Boras. Second, this isn't about Scott Harris. This is about Chris Illich. Clearly, he's a hardliner on the negotiations coming up. He wants a cap. He isn't going to play ball with Scott Boras. And the other thing that
Sam, let me stop you there. Did you read Chris McCoskey's story today?
No, I didn't.
Okay, because McCoskey said that the Tigers made an opening offer to Skubal, like you do, at $19.8 million, knowing that he would come back with more. They both make extreme proposals, and then you meet in the middle. And they were willing to go, McCoskey said, up to $25 million. So I think that would have been playing ball with Scott Boras.
But Scott Boras wasn't playing ball because Scott Boras didn't even counter.
He wouldn't talk to them.
And then he leaks whatever he cares to leak to Evan Petzold, and now the Tigers look like idiots. But
you said the Tiger, you think Illich is a hardliner. I'm not sure if he is or isn't. I think he was trying to do the negotiation process. And if you're trying to, you know, if you're saying he wasn't playing ball, it looks like Scott Boras is the one that wasn't playing ball.
Well, you know, the other thing that doesn't get mentioned, I gather Tarek Skubal is on a players' union executive committee.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And so I think from his standpoint, he feels it's his job to get the absolute top dollar.
He may, yeah. That's a solid point.
So anyway, hopefully they trade him. That's all I got to say. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. 248-539-9797.
Hopefully they win a World Series.
Yes.
And then I don't really care what happens if they can win a World Series this year, but if there's a trade to be made that makes the Tigers better, make the trade.
Well, look, at this point, I think it's, the most obvious thing in the world is this is the last year of Skubal in Detroit, if it even happens.
Yeah, but I can't take the Hollinger approach with Skubal. I can't wait to see what happens this season before you figure out what you're going to do. You got to figure it out now.
Yeah. 248-539-9797. Dan and Ipsy, you're next. Hi, Dan.
Yo, hey, why is Chris getting let off the hook on this? Right, when we say, "Oh, the Tigers can't sign,"
hello,
to pay. Of course they can.
Dan, we lost you there for a minute. Go ahead, start again. Why is Chris getting left the hip? What?
I think we can't just. It's not a foregone conclusion that we can't sign Skubal. We absolutely could. Mike, Chris's dad, used to be the highest bidder all the time.
Well, he wasn't with Scherzer.
Took him all the way to the World Series. Not with Scherzer, and that was a huge mistake.
Well, he wasn't always the highest bidder.
We're not a small market team. We're not Tampa Bay. We're not Pittsburgh. But Chris seems to want to turn us into that, and that should scare fans.
But they're
go
also.
Out,
but would you also admit though?
Try to compete.
But Dan, would you also admit they're not the major market team that New York or Boston or LA is?
Why not?
Because they're not.
Because the Dodgers have a $1 billion TV deal. The Tigers don't have a TV deal.
Chris Illich has $6 billion.
Fair enough. Those teams at the top of the totem pole can always give a dollar more.
Only because Chris doesn't want to.
Well, I mean, maybe there's also becomes a point where I don't want Scooble for 10 years and $50 million a year.
I don't either.
And those teams can absorb the mistake if it's a mistake. Tigers can't. They don't have as much. And you can say only if Chris doesn't want to. I mean, I suppose that's fine. I don't want him to sign a dumb deal.
I think it would be really interesting. I brought this up a little bit yesterday, but if the Tigers were, and make it public, right? You want to call out Boris, call him out, all right? Yep. Let's get all the cards on the table. Leak it out that the Tigers have offered Tarek Skubal a two-year, $90 million contract. Pay him 45 and 45 for the next 2 years. Yeah,
I think that'd be a creative way to keep it affordable. And because I don't think they care as much about their perception. If they cared about their perception, they wouldn't have filed the Major League Baseball recommendation, which almost everybody does when it comes to arbitration offers. But
because the $45 million, that's a monster number. It would be a two-year deal, so he gets to free agency a year later, and it gives the Tigers a little bit more of a runway to see what they have here in the next two seasons with Tarek Skubal if they can win a World Series or not.
248-539-9797. Got an NFL draft exercise we will get to coming up a little bit later on here on 97.1. Not to be, I don't want to take out of context what the last caller had to say. There's definitely more that the Tigers could do in terms of payroll. 100% more that the Tigers can do in terms of payroll. When it comes to arbitration cases, after sitting with somebody last night for, and my head was spinning, believe me, I came away with the understanding that the Tigers don't really set that price. Major League Baseball does. And almost everybody adheres to that. You can talk to the league about going above what the recommended value is, but arbitration is the only cost control that they have as a league, and the owners try to adhere to it. And the McCoskey story, and I don't know what his sources are, but basically said Boris wouldn't talk to the Tigers even about negotiating this last deal. And the Tigers were willing to negotiate and go much higher than 19, but that was their opening offer. And they expected them to come back with a super high opening offer, and then they'd meet in the middle, but Boris wouldn't even talk to them. Can the Tigers go higher when it comes to just standard free agent contracts? Yes. Yes, they can. And I hope that they do. And I have been disappointed, and I agree with them to a certain extent. I'm not sure it applies in this case, though, because I think what Tarek Skubal is about to get is probably a contract that I wouldn't be in favor of. Considering he probably just had his back-to-back Cy Young award winning seasons are probably the best 2 years of his career.
Yeah.
And we just experienced them. And unfortunately, it's probably going to be not as good moving forward. He's only going to get older, and there's already arm events in his history. The length of contract that he is going to command is one that I would be uncomfortable with the Tigers signing.
Yeah, I'm not comfortable going on an 8-year deal at all for him. And that's what he's going to get. He's going to get that in the open market, and they've already floated that $400 million number out there, and one of those big teams is going to be willing to pay it, and I don't think the Tigers should be willing to pay it because I don't think he's worth it. I think it's going to be a horrific contract at the end of it, and in the end, you're going to be hurting yourself when you need to rebuild or find other players at that point, and you can't do it because you're hamstrung with a $50 million a year contract.
So if he is saying that the Tigers should spend whatever they can to get Skubal, and he doesn't think that the ownership will do it, that's fine if he's in favor of that. I'm not spending whatever I can to keep Skubal. I don't think that's a smart baseball move, personally. But as it applies to other free agents, yeah, I'd like to see them get a little bit more aggressive.
Yeah, I'm curious if it doesn't seem like he's willing to do the Bregman deal like he did last year with Boston and do that with Skubal. He doesn't seem like he's going to do that because he knows that this is a guy in a prime of his career, ready to hit free agency, and he's going to set the market. Whereas Bregman, he promised he would set the market, and he didn't. Skubal's a different kind of guy.
248-539-9797. Chris is next. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how are you?
What's up?
I agree with you guys 100%. You can't ante up all on Scooble. Yeah, he's a great pitcher, but it's a team game, and Chris Illich needs to spend more money. He's not like his dad, obviously. He's not. He doesn't want to win. You have to have an owner that wants to win.
Why do you say he doesn't want to win? Because I think that's a leap. If you say he's not spending enough money, that's fine. But to say that, then to extrapolate that, is he doesn't want to win. I mean, there are other ways to win than spending money willy-nilly.
You don't have to go all in, but there's players out there that they can get to make this team better. You don't have to spend, umpteen million dollars.
Well, I would agree, but is that a Chris Illich problem, or is that a Scott Harris problem who's hired to figure this out?
I would say more Scott Harris, but I think it's a combination of both. I mean, sure, Tarik Skubal is a great pitcher, but like you just reiterated, how long is he going to pitch? You can't give him 8 to 10 year deal, $40 million a year, because that's what he's going to want.
Right, and that's what somebody else will give him.
Right, exactly. That's why baseball needs to go to a cap. They have to go to cap.
Well, that's a whole separate issue.
Yeah, you're kind of all over the place, Chris. But yes, hey, the one thing about a salary cap is you feel like everybody has the same resources. The reason why teams are adherent to what the MLB Labor Relations Board, I think is what it's called, tells teams to bid for arbitration, their offer for arbitration, is because it's the only cost control that they have. And if you just... here's something that's really important that I haven't gotten to yet, and I want to bring it up. Because I was told yesterday, again, by somebody who knows, right? And McCoskey actually wrote the same thing. I can stop worrying about Scooble being unhappy next year. He understands it's a business. McCoskey wrote the same thing today. And so I'm sure we don't have the same source. Okay, I'm sure of that. That he understands it's a business. He's not going to be mad about this. That he's going to go out and be the bulldog that he is. And that's the kind of thing that I was concerned of. I was really concerned about. So, and that's good news. 248-539-9797. Because if we have one more kick at the can with him, then let's hope that it turns out the best it possibly can, right? NFL draft talk today at 12:35. Got a little exercise. We based upon some fresh mail. Al Kiper reporting, yeah. Muhammad is next on 97.1. Hi, Muhammad.
Hey, what's going on, man?
How you doing, sir?
Want to talk about Brad Holmes and some of the expectations of the Detroit Lions, man. A big-time Lions fan, a long time here. And, I watched Brad Holmes build this team in front of my eyes. And at what point, what are the expectations for this upcoming season or for the next 2 years? Because Brad Holmes did a great job building this team. But he's failed to maintain a great roster. He's failed to make moves that will take us to the next level. And these kind of moves are being demonstrated by other GMs. So what does Brad Holmes need to do?
What other GMs?
I'm intrigued. What is the other GM move that you're citing here?
I mean, you look at some of the things that they did in New England. You look at what they're doing in Philadelphia.
New England didn't do anything at the trade deadline.
So let's talk about Kenyon Mitchell and let's talk about Terry Arnold, right?
Kenyon Mitchell, who was drafted ahead of Terry Arnold.
So if we traded up that one or two extra spots, one of my buddies actually that was on the show the other day mentioned this to me. The difference between those two guys is an all-pro caliber cornerback and a guy who can't stay healthy and who sucks in man coverage. So, like, Brad Holmes, you got to wake up. You got to make those bold decisions. We've traded up so many picks, so many moves up to draft Jameson Williams, but
they traded up to get Terry Arnold.
I know they did.
Yeah, they couldn't trade up enough to get Quinion Mitchell.
They should have.
Okay, so, I think he probably agrees with you.
We'd rather, on this show, we love Quinion Mitchell.
Yeah, and I think if Quinion Mitchell... Yeah, it would help to have Quinion Mitchell. He's a better player than Terry Arnold. You do realize saying he should have is a little bit unfair. With that said...
Yeah, did you know Terry Arnold was going to have a shoulder issue and miss most of the season?
Whether he knew it or not, it's a fact. And
that it happened.
Yeah, and so you know, hey, what I say yesterday, nobody's perfect.
Right.
he's not perfect, and he's going to make mistakes. At this point, you know, my second guessing about Brad Holmes or questioning Brad Holmes really is centered around what he does now. Okay. I don't think there's anything wrong with believing in your core, signing what is almost all good players. The one that might burn him is Kirby, because Kirby's hurt, but so's Brian Branch, and he's due a new contract. So maybe they're saved from throwing bad money at Branch if that's going to be an issue. I don't know. But yeah, there's some pressure on him this offseason to have a good offseason. New England didn't do anything at the trade deadline. New England, I went back and looked at the trade deadline analysis. New England was called one of the big losers at the trade deadline. And the winners, teams like Philly, they're out. Their big ticket they got at the trade deadline had two sacks and didn't record one stat in the playoff game that they lost to San Francisco. That was an aggressive move. But the result of that aggressive move is actually what matters most. Now, it's hard to know, and I wish we did know what Brad Holmes said no to.
Well,
that's a very important thing. I want to know what he said no to. I want to know what draft pick he wouldn't move to get a player that could have helped. I would have felt really bad if a really good offensive lineman got traded at the trade deadline and the Lions didn't get him.
Yeah.
But that didn't happen.
No, it didn't. It'd be great to know what they're going to do.
Yep.
That's the most important thing, is what's next. You know, how do they fix the offensive line? Are they going to go free agency? Are they going to go through a trade? Are they going to go draft all three avenues? How are they going to improve the offensive line that obviously needs improving? They need to know if Taylor Decker is coming back or not.
There's some pressure on Brad Holmes, though.
I don't
think he's on the hot seat, but...
No, he's not on the hot seat, but I agree with that. There is pressure on him, and I don't want to make it seem like, oh, he can do no wrong. He absolutely has to do better. And this is the offseason he's got to do it, because if the team doesn't get better and they miss the playoffs a second year in a row,
yep,
yikes.
Yep.
You know, you can't go down that path. Once you start tasting... You know how nice it is to make the playoffs and win in the playoffs? You have to keep doing that. And this fan base wants it desperately.
248-539-9797. Get to more of your phone calls and feedback coming up. It is 97.1.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
I think we just took a call. With the 21st pick, the Philadelphia Eagles select Quinyon Mitchell, cornerback, Toledo. With the 23rd pick, the Detroit Lions also select Quinyon Mitchell, cornerback, Toledo. Like, you can't make a team trade you their pick. Well, you should have. Yeah, well, great.
Yeah.
Great, that'd be okay. Now, is his track record in the draft good? Very. Has his last couple of drafts been as good? No. Now, I'm not giving up on this draft by any stretch of the imagination. They went trenches with two players I think have a lot of promise. And I think the wide receiver they traded up to get, maybe they shouldn't have traded up to get him, but I think he's got a lot of promise too.
He does.
And who knows what'll happen with Frazier? We shall see.
Well, Frazier, and the other one is... Is the edge rusher, Hassanin.
Mm-hmm.
Does he have promise? I mean, they drafted him thinking he did, and then unfortunately, like a lot of guys, got hurt away.
I'm not counting on him.
I'm not counting on him either. But, I'm just saying, can they get lucky with a late round selection again? And maybe it's not lucky. Maybe it's just good.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
He's got pressure on him, though. Don't get me wrong.
He's got a lot of pressure on him.
248-539-9797. We go to Adam and Frankenmuth. Hi, Adam.
Hey, how you doing, fellas?
What's up?
Man, I got a couple things for you, man. First with Scoobal, you guys hit it right on the head, man. We've seen his best years. We've seen two Cy Youngs, amazing pitcher, I'm just done playing the game. Like, I truly, truly am. It's time to I trade him before the season starts. I really would, because you're just going to deal with this headache every after every game, after every start. He, let's say you go, oh, I got tired arm or something like that, and then he goes on the DL because he doesn't want to sacrifice his contract. You know what I mean? All the big money that he could make. You don't know what Boris is telling him. I'd move him now. I really would, before the season starts.
I'm not as worried about that, Adam. I understand it's kind of natural to think that he's going to try and go with a degree of self-preservation. I don't know that he's wired that way, and I'm not sure that he can. But I understand the concern about it. But and as far as trading him now, I would too, as long as there's an offer. As long as there's a good offer.
And the only thing I kind of contradict you on that is, yeah, he's one heck of a competitor, but you know, he knows that this is his one big contract that he's going to get. And for him to have that ball and that inning when we could have advanced and he said, nope, I'm out. And people could say, oh, it was a management thing or his. Who really knows? But at the end of the day, it was just like, whatever. But to get to the Lions, the thing at the end of the day, man, I think what our biggest strength is our locker room and the grit, the buy-in, you know, Dan Campbell and Holmes has created. But at the same token, I think that could be our Achilles heel. We held on to Taylor Decker too long. We didn't address the left tackle position. Penei Sewell will probably play left tackle, I'm guessing, next year, and we'll have to find a right tackle. I just think and I hope, because I love Brad Holmes. You know, I'm a diehard Lions fan, been doing it a long time, and to see us to come from nothing to be where we're at, I'm grateful. But at the same token, like a lot of callers said, like the last guy come on and said, yeah, we didn't attack. Well, like Green Bay, you know, when I've got Parsons, you go out and do these big deals, but that's not Detroit. That's not what we do. I mean, Rasheed Wallace, like you talked about.
We can. I'm not against a big deal, and I don't blame Green Bay for going to get Parsons. But if you're going to go with an all-in move and give up future first-round picks, you're rolling the dice a little bit that all-in move won't get hurt. And they got burned on it. They did. Not saying it was a bad trade, but one of the risks when you put a lot of your capital into getting one player is that there's a lot riding on that player's health. And you can't predict injuries. It certainly cost Green Bay. Green Bay didn't win a game after he got hurt. But that's part of the risk you take knowingly. And sometimes you get burned by it. Green Bay got burned by it this year. They did. But doesn't mean it was a bad trade or bad in concept.
Bold move.
It's a bold move that
looked amazing for them to start off with. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why that kind of thing is why I'm when it comes to the NFL and other one and done sports in the postseason, and I guess it's the NFL, it's like college basketball, college football, be a championship contender every year. Because too many small things to big things can go wrong just like that cost you. You don't have a 7-game series where you can rebound. And, you know, I think that in Green Bay's case, Green Bay, if I were sitting doing this show in Green Bay, I'd say I'd love to see what would have happened if our best player didn't get hurt. Just like we do the shows in Detroit and say we'd love to see what happened if a bunch of our guys didn't get hurt. Back to your phone calls. Robert in Southfield, you're next. What's up, Robert?
Hey, good afternoon. I almost said good morning. Anyway, I just want to know this. What would that one inning in that game 5 against Seattle would have accomplished when that team was not hitting and they hit all series or all September?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought this up, Robert. I'm glad you bring this up because people bring that up all the time. If he could have gone in the extra inning, what difference would that have made? So a different part of the lineup, I guess, is what it would have made. And would have just simply delayed the inevitable? They would have pushed another run across because the pitcher who came in didn't get the job done? And he would have been used in the same situation just an inning later?
I think I think Scooble going out for that extra inning would have made a big difference to people in Detroit.
No, it wouldn't have, because the team was not hitting. Now, I could see what Yamamoto did for him to come back that next inning, because that was game 7, and
it's extra game, inning, it's game 5.
Yamamoto was a monster. No. When Yamamoto came in game 7 of the World Series, that's totally different than a game 5.
Of a previous series. Yeah, it's still do or die, but you're right. There's no tomorrow. Whereas even if Scooble comes out and pitches the 7th and the 8th, they do have to come back and have another series. There's a little bit different. That's bothered me more as time has gone on. It didn't bother me in the moment because AJ Hinch was there talking me off the ledge. As more time goes on, Finnegan came in and immediately gave up the tying run. And we all know what happened, but let's go to Daryl in Detroit. You're next. Hi, Daryl.
How you guys doing today?
What's up?
Okay, I want to talk about the Pistons. Yep. Okay, here's the stat line. 13.4 points, 45% from the field, 33 from three, 85 from free throws, 4.6 rebounds, 2.5 assists, and a half a block a game. Is that a pretty good line for a starter?
What was it? I didn't hear the points per game.
The points per game is 13.4.
That's pretty good. That's a guy who can help you win.
Okay, that's Tobias' stats. And Kane twice said he provides little to nothing on the court. He said it twice. That is absolutely wrong. He's providing plenty. Now, is Porter a better player? Sure. But here it is. Let's talk about Porter. Porter is playing for Brooklyn now. He's not playing for Denver. In Denver, the highest he ever averaged was 19 a game. He had a career average of 17 a game. So his points went up because he's playing on a worthless Brooklyn team, and he's taking nothing but shots. So is he really worth the money? Because he's getting paid 37 this year, and he'll be paid 41 next year. If we take his contract, could we offer during the contract that he accepts? Or could that mess up our whole team?
I think with basketball, you have to keep this in mind with basketball, Daryl. It's different because they can go above the salary cap to re-sign their own free agents. And I think it's clear that Tom Gore, is the owner of this team, would be more than willing to go above and beyond to keep this team competitive. So I don't worry about Jalen Duren. I think they'll sign Jalen Duren. That's not a concern for me.
I got one more thing to say. To me, it seemed like Jaden Ivey is just like J-Mo. Because this city here, this fan base here, wanted to get rid of J-Mo so much for so long. But then Detroit re-signed him. The same thing with Jaden Ivey. It seemed like folks around here want to be done with that guy. They want him out of here in the worst possible way.
I don't get that, Daryl. What I get out of Jaden Ivey is that's a piece that they haven't really been able to use that much. And that's a piece that, okay, if you're going to make a trade to get somebody who can step in and contribute right away, that be the necessary part to facilitate that trade.
Yeah, I don't interpret Detroit as can't wants to get rid of Jaden Ivey in the worst possible way. I do think that if things don't happen right away, people grow awfully impatient, awfully quick.
Well, and also to get somebody, you got to trade somebody. And Jaden Ivey seems like a perfect kind of guy where young player with somewhat of a ceiling that you can get some value for. And I'll say for a third time, Tobias Harris is providing nothing on the floor really for the Pistons as far as they don't need him to win games. He's played 23 games this year. Those numbers, as a starter, you can find a bunch of guys that average 13 points a game. You know,
like, what would the person who replaces him, what would that person put up on the
I don't know, if it's Michael Porter Jr., it's going to be 29 points a game. You know what I mean?
I mean, so, not that much, but yeah. it would be more, probably.
It'd be a lot more, but... And by the way, I like Tobias Harris. I think he brings a great presence to this team. He's helped this team get to where they are. But you get to a point where you only can go so far. And if you think you can get better, what do you always say, Gator? Don't be afraid
to give up the good for the great.
This team can be great. And sorry, Tobias Harris's contract is perfect right now to trade to get great.
Well, that's what it is, right? That's what makes him, puts him on the trade block, is he's helping. I will disagree with you. I think he helps a little bit more than you say, and it's not as easy to find, but I think he's helped
the last five games.
Well,
six.
No kidding. He's been hurt, but he's helped when he's on the floor. He helps them win, but his biggest asset is a big contract that could be matched up. And by the way, for people who, suffice to say, they're in a good spot. They just got to navigate this trade deadline. And if they can get Michael Porter Jr. without giving up much, and by much, I mean too many young players.
I think it's
Tobias, one of their young wings, and a pick.
But is it basically without giving up Holland or Asar Thompson or Jalen Duren or Isaiah Stewart?
It's Ivy or Holland, actually, is what it is. 248-539-9797. All right, let's have a little fun with the NFL draft. Mel came out with some new rankings. I want to get your 2 cents on what's in the Lions' range. That today at 12.
Hey, friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of The Preamble.
Listen, I know you're dealing with a lot, and it's even harder to do it when the world around you feels chaotic. But I'm here to help. Each week, my expert guests and I slow things down to talk about the stories shaping our world, what's really happening behind the headlines, why it matters, how it all connects. And if you're ready for real understanding and maybe even a little bit of hope, follow and listen to The Preamble wherever you get your podcasts.
As a man, finding a truly great pair of pants can feel impossible. Some wrinkle the moment you sit down. Others look fine but don't travel well, don't move well, or completely lose their shape throughout the day. When you're flying, commuting, or packing light, most pants just aren't built for real life.
That's why there's Jack Archer. JackArcher.com makes the Jet Setter Tech Pant designed to be the one pair of pants you actually need. Comfortable enough for travel, polished enough for work, and versatile enough for wherever the day takes you. The Jet Setter Tech Pant is wrinkle-free, stain-resistant, and built for all-day comfort. With flexible stretch, customizable fit options, and thousands of five-star reviews, these are the pants you'll reach for every day.
Jack Archer, ready when you are. For a limited time, get 15% off your first order using code GETJACK at JackArcher.com. Again, that's promo code GETJACK at JackArcher.com for 15% off your first order.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
If you're an experienced pet owner, you already know that having a pet is 25% belly rubs, 25% yelling, drop it, and 50% groaning at the bill from every pet visit. Which is why Lemonade Pet Insurance is tailor-made for your pet and can save you up to 90% on vet bills. It can help cover checkups, emergencies, diagnostics, basically all the stuff that makes your bank account get nervous. Claims are filed super easily through the Lemonade app and half get settled instantly. Get a quote at lemonade.com/pet and they'll help cover the vet bill for whatever your pet swallowed. After you yelled, drop it.
20 on 97. Got a sneak attack in Metro Detroit with the snowstorm last night and today. Yes, snow was in the forecast. It was not expected to be what it turned into, which was quite a dump. We got a dump of snow around Metro Detroit. And then the plows were out overnight or this morning, and surprise that they had to get out there. But yeah, usually we hear about snowmageddon and bomb cyclones and batten down the hatches and buy toilet paper and all that stuff well before storms hit, because it plays very well in the news. Weather does, weather updates. And yet this one kind of caught us off guard.
Kind of did.
Yep. So I hope everybody made it safe. Home last night, to work this morning. A lot of schools canceled around Metro Detroit. To the great enjoyment of my wife. I'm very pleased. I asked her how her day's going. She said, I'm checking boxes. So she'll be happy.
Yeah, you know what that means.
I'm going to get home and there's going to be a to-do list.
There's going to be a list.
Yeah, probably. Probably one of her boxes, one of the boxes she had to check was make a list of things Doug needs to do.
That's probably right, 100%.
Yes. The honey-do list. Okay. We got some fresh Mel, and it's not a mock, but Mel Kiper has updated his player rankings. Okay. So this is for the coming NFL draft. And of course, we're learning more and more about, you know, which players are declaring for the draft and which ones are out. And Mel just updated his. And Scott, I started thinking about where the Lions are at 17. And you look at the field of players, I went like a range of 10, right around the Lions, from 13 to 22.
Okay.
Because if somebody's projected to be like the 13th or 14th best player in the draft, it's certainly no stretch to think that that player could be there at 17, right?
This is correct.
Yep. And if somebody is, you know, 20 or 21, and this is not, obviously not the Lions board, but if this is what the board looks like, that range of players includes the top-ranked defensive end in the draft, the top-ranked defensive tackle in the draft, the top-ranked cornerback in the draft, and the top-ranked interior offensive lineman in the draft are all in that range between 13 and 22. Now, part of it is a little bit of definition. And an example I mean is the kid from Texas Tech, the outside linebacker, Bailey.
Yeah, David Bailey.
He is considered an outside linebacker and not an edge rusher. So when I say top-ranked defensive end, it's a player that specifically is ranked as a defensive end and not an outside linebacker.
So Reuben Bain?
Well, those players are, and this is where we get into the interesting part of this whole thing. At 13 is Reuben Bain, defensive end, Miami. At 14 is Jermaid McCoy, cornerback, Tennessee. At 17 is Caden McDonald, defensive tackle, Ohio State. He's a top-ranked DT. And at 18 is Olavivenga Owanae, the interior offensive lineman from Penn State. If this is the field of players to choose from, who do you most want? Because you got the top-ranked defensive end, top-ranked defensive tackle, top-ranked interior offensive lineman, and top-ranked corner. Positions of need.
Yes, sure. And then you go with the best available player out of those positions, right? Because that's what the Lions do.
Mm-hmm.
But also the other factor, which is a big factor, is what have they done in free agency, which we wouldn't know. But I'm assuming that they'll take an offensive lineman in free agency. Is it a tackle? Well, is it a center? I don't know.
Let me back up. Well, it's not the top-ranked tackle. Caden Proctor is ranked number 19,
mm-hmm.
who is a highly regarded tackle out of Alabama. So, I mean, there's your tackle if you want one. There's an interior offensive lineman if you want one. There's a defensive tackle if you want one. There's an edge rusher if you want them. And they're all the top ranked at their position with the exception of Proctor.
I think the one that would make Lions fans happiest would be Bain.
Reuben Bain, the edge rusher, defensive end.
Yeah. And when you look at his size, he's 6'3", which isn't, I think we'd love to see another Hutch, 6'6", 6'7", somewhere in that range. But Bain has the size that the Lions like. It's not 6'3 and 230. It's 6'3 and 275.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to like that body type of a player. You know, that's the Josh Pascal type, and that didn't work out. But Bain is a guy who everyone sees. And you're going to see him next week in the national championship game. He's a bit of a game wrecker. Now, they have a couple guys in that Miami defense, and maybe they just complement each other. But I think Bain's the guy that people be most happy about. But if the Lions were to sign a center in free agency, me personally, I'm going with the best offensive tackle I can get at 17, and I'm going to start him at right tackle.
Caden Proctor.
And I'm moving Sewell over to left side, assuming that Taylor Decker is not coming back. Now, that's the other thing. If Taylor Decker is coming back, am I drafting his replacement, or am I just going to go with edge rusher?
Well, I've been saying all along I want a veteran center. And earlier this week, Kang pointed a couple things out to me. He said, look, there have been some really good centers that have come in and started in this league. We saw it with Frank Ragnow. And who was it this year, Kang, that came in? Gray Zabel, wasn't it?
Yeah, he played mostly guard this year.
Okay.
They did lose their center, but I don't think he switched over. But he was interior lineman, obviously.
So with that said, maybe I need to be a little bit more open-minded. If Olave Avenge-Iwane, the interior offensive lineman from Penn State, is out there. But I agree with you. The edge rusher would probably quiet most of the phone calls. Would probably go the furthest towards quieting phone calls. But I'm intrigued to hear what the people have to say. In the latest Mel Kiper player rankings, so this is a big board, and the Lions will have their own big board, and I feel like they pretty much adhere to that big board. They take the best player available, and if their big board looks anything like this, Reuben Bain is 13th. Jermaine McCoy, the corner from Tennessee, is a top-ranked corner. He is 14th. Keldrick Falk, the defensive end from Auburn, is 15th. Akeem Messidor, the other defensive end from Miami, is 16th. Caden Proctor, the defensive tackle from Ohio State, is 17th. He's the top-ranked defensive tackle. Iwana A, the interior offensive lineman from Penn State, is 18th. Caden Proctor, who's a number three tackle, is ranked 19th. Lomu, the tackle from Utah, the other tackle from Utah, is the fourth-ranked offensive tackle. He's 20th. Peter Woods, defensive tackle from Clemson, is 21. And Mansoor Delane, the corner from LSU, is 22. You know what I like about this? Actually, I like a lot. There's not a wide receiver in there. There's not a quarterback in there. There's not a running back in there. They're all positions that I could justifiably say the Lions should take. All 10 of them. It's kind of wild, really.
Kind of, yeah. And with the interior offensive linemen, I mean, again, it depends on what they do in free agency. If they don't draft a center, I mean, are you drafting a guard hoping to convert him to a center? Or are you going to draft a guy who played center in college and has played well at that position in college? Because Iwane from Penn State's a guard, correct?
Yep.
And Pregnon is a guard from Oregon.
Yep.
So his next highest rated interior offensive lineman is Connor Liu, who is a center at Auburn. And Matt Gulben from Michigan State, number four, is a center. And Logan Jones from Iowa is a center. But then you're getting into 3, 4, 5 in the rankings. But again, it's do you think you can convert a guy?
I think
from guard to center.
Lions fans and me too a little bit. Like you hate drafting a guy and then putting him somewhere he didn't play in college, right? I get that. I totally get that. And I'm not saying to do that. But let's say the Lions have the guard much higher than the center on their big board. And they always stick to their big board. If they draft a guard still, what does that tell you about how they feel about Mahogany? Because they also ended the season, both guys, Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell's ended the pressers, this end of the season pressers with, they want competition. That's competition, man. You know what I mean? Who the best made the best man win, right? This guard is too good to pass up. Even though we think you might be the guy, Mahogany, we're going to bring in some competition.
I think there is competition whether they bring more in or not. I think with Miles Frazier, there's competition. I think there's competition with Giovanni Manu. I think there's competition with Tristan Colon if they want to bring – and I'm not sure if they have to bring him back or not, but I think there is competition all throughout there, even before you get to the draft. And, yes, I do think they're going to draft somebody in the interior defense offensive line come April.
All right, this is kind of interesting. It's Mel's top players – between 13 and 22, which somebody 13 could drop to 17 for sure, is a top-ranked defensive end, the top-ranked defensive tackle, the top-ranked interior offensive lineman, and the top-ranked cornerback. There's also the number two tackle or number three tackle in Caden Proctor. If you had to pick one of those guys, who do you most hope is on the board for the Lions at 17 and they can walk away with?
What you heard right there was the power of audio. And audio is what we do at Odyssey. That true crime podcast you spent hours listening to, we produce that. That radio station where you discovered your favorite artists, that's our station. That weird playlist of bongo music, we ain't judging. One of our curators made that. Advertise with Odyssey. We can get your message in front of a broad or targeted audience. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
As a man, finding a great pair of pants feels harder than it should. Some look sharp but feel stiff. Others are comfortable but wrinkle, stain, or lose their shape by noon. And if you're working, traveling, or constantly on the move, most pants just cannot keep up. That's where Jack Archer comes in.
JackArcher.com delivers one pair of pants designed for real life. Whether it's golf with the guys or date night with someone special, these pants will keep you comfortable and looking polished wherever the day takes you.
That's right, Mark. The Jack Archer Jet Setter Tech Pant is wrinkle-free, stain-resistant, and built to hold its shape all day. With customizable fit options and multiple colors, these are the one pair of pants you'll want to wear every day.
Jack Archer, ready when you are. For a limited time, get 15% off your first order with code GETJACK at jackarcher.com. Again, that's promo code GETJACK at jackarcher.com for 15% off your first order.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Get sweet deals at True North convenience stores when you join True Rewards. Save a dollar when you buy any two king or standard size candy bars. Get more Kit Kat Crunch, Milky Way Caramel, and more peanut M&Ms. Choose any of your chocolate favorites when you grab two king or standard size candy bars and save $1. Become a True Rewards member today and save on so much more. Download from the Apple app or Google Play Store for more details. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.